Welcome to AncestorsBackThen.com. During this series, we'll learn how our ancestors lived in the 20th century, early to mid-1900s. Their stories are fascinating. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's get started. Our conversation today is with Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley grew up in the South, Leesburg/Orlando, Florida. She's going to let us know what life was like there in the early 20th century. So let's get started.
Shirley, let's talk about how you grew up. Was it a good life in Leesburg, Florida?
I had a very good life in Leesburg, Florida. Good parents, good grandparents, good great-great-grandparents, and the whole community. Everybody bonded together as a family. When something happened in one family, it affected all of us because that's how close we were. That's how close some of us that remain here in Leesburg still keep in contact with one another.
Let's talk about how you lived. Did you live in a nice house? Was it a shack? Let's talk about how you lived back then in the early 1900s. How did your family live back then?
My family lived in very good houses. They were not lean over, run down, or nasty, or dirty, or anything like that. Everybody kept their houses up, kept the front yard. That was the main thing, front yard and backyard, because on a Saturday evening, when the sun went down and it was cool, everybody would be in the backyard having a little barbecue or playing cards. They all pulled together as one. No one suffered as far as starving or being beat up or taken advantage of, because everybody worked for a living that could work, and everybody saved, and everybody enjoyed going to church.
Electricity in the house. Was there any, how did you see how to do your homework or read or whatever you needed
to
do?
You did your homework at, when you came from school, you changed clothes, you did your homework while you had the light. Everything was done, and even at night, you had lamps, beautiful kerosene lamps. You had that, you know, to light, and they would light up, light the whole house up as if you had electrical appliances.
That's good to know. So you weren't in the dark?
No, never in the dark,
Was there any indoor plumbing back in the early 1900s in your family's homes or houses?
There was no, at that particular time, you had a nice house, but the outdoor plumbing was outside. It was called the outhouse, and that's where you would go to do your business, in the outhouse.
So how far away was this outhouse from your house?
About maybe 20 feet. My grandmother had an outhouse about 20 feet from the back porch.
Okay, so when you had to go outside to do your business.
Unless you had a slop john. A slop john was a large, big bucket. You kept water and bleach in it, and it had a handle with the top. So at night, you could do your business there, but you had to get up early in the morning and take that slop john or that bucket out to the outhouse, empty it, and clean it out. It could not come back into the house smelly.
Today, what we call a toilet where we can flush, you had to do it in a jar called the slop john.
A big bucket. It was a big
bucket. A bucket,
yes.
But you called it the slop john.
Yes, and it was the bucket, slop john, was white trimmed in red. So, and you had a handle on it. You had to put that water in there. In other words, like you flushing out, we had water in the house. The slop john had water. You had to put water in there and a little bleach in there in order to kill the odor.
And what would happen to it the next morning?
The next morning, you had to get up, you had to empty, take it to the outhouse, empty it out, clean it out, and bring it back, let it air out. And then before nightfall, you brought that slop john back in there and put it in the house.
I am so grateful for
yes, a
flushing toilet. So many people need to hear this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to the outhouse for a minute, Shirley. When you use the outhouse, how did you clean yourself up? I mean, today we have Charmin, quilted noise. How did you clean yourself up?
We clean ourselves up with the JCPenney's catalog.
JCPenney?
JCPenney's. Whatever catalog we had, my grandmother, my grandfather, and them were soften it up. They would tear the pages out and pile it up. So therefore, when you were sitting there, you had to clean yourself. It was right there, reachable, where you could take JCPenney's, whoever else was there in the magazine, Good Housekeeping, whatever was there. That's what you clean yourself with. Pages out of the catalog.
No easy wipes like we have today, soft, easy wipes.
No easy wipes.
Oh,
and
mama,
the soap that you used was made out of lye.
So when you were able to wash your, once you came out of the outhouse, you could wash your hands.
Yeah, you could wash your hands inside because they had like a table and you had a big tub there with your water and your soap, and you still dried your hands with the pages from
the JCPenney catalog.
From the JCPenney's catalog.
This is amazing. Now, how many people could use the outhouse at one time?
You could, two people, because they had two seats. They were connected together, and one person would have privacy. It would be a little thing to divide. And
okay, so they did have some privacy.
Yes.
Okay, because that was grossing me out for a minute. You had your privacy. Two people could use the outhouse at the same time.
Uh-huh.
What happened when the outhouse got full? What'd you do?
It would never get full. The hole was so deep, you never could see the bottom of the outhouse. You could pour your water in there, clean your anything that you would never see in it. They kept sulfur, and they kept mothballs and red pepper, all of that to keep the snakes away. You could never see the bottom. It was just that deep. You would never be able to see the bottom of the outhouse.
Did you ever see a snake?
No, not really, because they kept that clean, and they made sure the grass, everything, they would pull everything from around to keep that outhouse, because in the daytime, you could use it. At night, you had a lantern that they would hang on the outside, but you had to slop John in the house to keep from coming outside.
This is quite an education, the outhouse and the slop John. And everybody had an outhouse, right?
Just about, uh-huh. And it was like a house. It had a door. It had a roof over it. It had the chin up. It was just like a little house in your backyard, about 20 feet from your back porch.
How did you take a bath? You said the water was outside the house. How did families in the early 1900s take a bath?
You had a well, or you had a faucet, and you had the long tin tubs. You had the tin, that's what you would heat your water up, and you had a separate room on the back porch that was closed off, like a bathroom, but you didn't have the modern facilities. So you had the long silver tin tub. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How would you heat the water for the tub?
The water would be heated on a stove. You had a long wooden stove where you would put your wood in there, and they kept that going because they did the cooking and the hot water for washing the dishes and the cleaning, scrubbing your floors. And then bath time, they had a big bucket, a big kettle, and you would put that in there in your tin tub.
Laundry, how did you wash it? I mean, you know, today everybody got washer and dryer inside. How did you do your laundry and your family?
My grandma and great-grandma had, when they came out with the washing machine, it was one washing machine. Everything washed in the bottom of the washing machine, and to wring it out, you would put it through the little wringer, and it would wring it out and rinse it out, and it would go through that. You would pull it out, you would rinse it out, and as far as starch, they have spray starch now. They had argon starch where you could made the starch. Yeah, made the starch for your criminal slip, for your white blouses, for your nurse's uniform, for your usher board uniform. They made handmade starch.
So starch was big back then to keep the clothes.
You could wear it more than one time
without
showing that much dirt on it. But now they have the stuff you spray where your collar come clean. And they had the scrub board where you would wash, you know, scrub that. Uh-huh.
So if you had the washing machine, did you also need the scrub board?
Yes, you do. And if you had stains, like, you know, female stains, they would scrub that, you know, and put that in. And they call it the bluing. And now it's bleach and this and that. We had the bluing. It would clean all the bluing and make your clothes just as pretty and white.
So the bluing is like what we have today, bleach have today.
Yes, it's double bleaching, and you have different bleaches for colored clothes, for white clothes. Now you could put everything together in one. They had the bluing, and you would hang your sheets and everything and on the line. We have dryer. Your clothesline was the dryer. Your clothes pins were that kept your clothes on the line. That's when the wind blow, that was your dryer.
Young people have no idea how lucky they are. So you took the clothes and you hang them on the clothesline.
In the backyard, you had about maybe 10, 11, 12 clothesline, because all of your white sheets and pillowcases and blankets would go in the front. all of your heavy clothes would go in the back. You didn't put any like pink or red or something next to your white because they were still wet. And if the wind blow, it would get on your white sheets and on your curtains and stuff like that. And then the white gloves, you know, my great-grandmother was an usher, so you had to have your gloves white for Sunday. Everything was done when the blew, and everything was drier, the wind would blow your clothes dry.
So the dryer was the wind.
Almighty wind, almighty God wind, that was the dryer. What no high, medium, look, you hung them clothes on that. When that wind blew, you were so glad when the sun come out, and you didn't let them see. You got them off the line, and you would fold them up, and when you got ready to iron your pillowcases, you had an iron, that what it was, iron the handle. You wrapped some cloth around that handle, put it on that stove, and it got hot, and you would iron about 2, 3, 4 pieces before that iron got cold.
No low, medium, hot steam.
No, wasn't no low, no steam, no. If you wanted to get a little wrinkles out of your clothes, you would take that and take that Coca-Cola bottle and fill it full of water, and you would sprinkle it. You would sprinkle it so when that steam iron hit it, it would get steam. No, that was the Coca-Cola bottle with the water in it.
What type of food did you eat, and where'd you get the food from?
Homegrown collard greens, homegrown string beans, homegrown cabbage, homegrown tomatoes. You would take that if you had 100 chicken. My grandmother, my great grandmother would take. My grandmother would wring the chicken neck and put it in that hot water and pull them. Oh, we go to the Safeway now. Everything is done. We go to Giant. We go to Publix. Everything, but you know they pluck those feathers off the chicken. And they clean the chicken inside and out. That's how you got your chickens clean. So, everything was good.
That's how you got your two-piece back then.
Yeah.
You had to wring. You had to wring the chickens.
Yes. They would wring the chicken neck, and they would chop it up and put it in that hot water. And next thing, they would pull it up, and they would pluck those feathers like that.
Telephone. Was there a telephone? How'd you make a phone call?
The telephone, when they began to put the telephone in your home, you had a phone in your home, but everybody was on a party line. Everybody in that neighborhood was on a party line. So if my grandmother got ready to use the phone and say Miss Sina Wright was on it, Miss Sina, but she would get on the phone and say, Miss Sina, excuse me, I have to make an emergency call or something. It was a party line. Everybody had a phone when they began to put them in, but it was a party line. No one had a private line or anything like that. Or if not, you would go up to Main Street to Miss Emerson grocery store and use the phone there.
A party line.
Everybody had a telephone number. I can still remember my phone number. It was 949 green. The other lady would be so-and-so red. They were by colors.
By colors.
Uh-huh.
What about entertainment? Back then, did you have a telephone? Did you have a radio? Did you have a TV? Let's talk about that.
We had, my great-grandmama and my grandma had a radio. Everybody would sit around a tall radio and listen to the radio, Amos and Andy, and sometimes the soap opera, Search for Tomorrow, As the World Turned. All that stuff was on the radio. And then eventually they came out with TVs, so everybody began to have a TV. Those who in the neighborhood who did not have a TV, they knew to come down to the house, my grandmama's house, or whoever had a TV. We all would sit there and listen to Joe Louis, other, you know, Jack Benny shows, stuff like that. And that was good. Uh-huh.
What about church? Did everybody go to church or Sunday school?
You better. If you wanted to live, you had to go. If you wanted to live, you went to church and got up on time and went to church. If you wanted to live and come back in that house and eat and sleep, you better get up and give God the glory. Or else they would get the butter from the dove.
Meaning?
Make that tear that butt out the frame. Tear it out the frame. And you better be able to, and you better put them pennies in church. Do you hear what I say? Your offering, yeah. And you better not stop by Mr. Red Rhinestone and get no kits, no Mary Jane. You better not stop by Mr. Willie Elf and get no nothing. You better take that penny and put it in church. Like they said, put it in church. Do you hear me? You didn't put them pennies in church, they will come there and ask, let me ask Sister Morris, did you put collection? You better put that penny there. If you wanted to live, to survive, you put that penny in church, do you?
Man, this is great. Would you say you had a good life? Because there's so many bad stories, being beaten with whips and hangings and,
you would hear that way back during the slavery, but as far as us as children, if you did anything wrong, your mom and daddy, one that almost beat you to death, they would tear your butt out the frame like they said. You were not disrespectful. You were not disobedient. You did not pass by Miss Sadie's house and didn't say good evening, good morning, good afternoon. You didn't pass by there talking loud. And if you saw Miss Sadie sitting on the porch, hey, Miss Sadie, how you doing? And she was standing there and looking to see if you did anything wrong. I'm going to tell your mama. I'm gonna tell you, and then you know to straighten up. Now they want you cannot tell the parents, some parents, anything about their children because they wanna waste you away from here.
That's right. So you guys lived as a close knit community.
Anything they picked up, don't you dare get whooped with no peach switch. They would tell you go out there and bring it to me. You pick your own butt beating. Material.
So you went outside and you picked the switch.
Yes, and it better not be no little one. You had to go back and get one that was as long as a fishing pole. They would, and if you tried to run, that switch would catch you by your legs and drag you back down. You got beaten for when you were disrespectful, didn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We do need more of that today.
Yeah, but they call it child abuse.
Well, we all turned out all right.
We turned out great. We turned out fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now it's time for Miss Shirley's Tips.
Is there anything you want to tell future generations?
Yes, education. Get an education, whether you're in Leesburg, Florida, whether you're in China, whether you're in Tokyo, wherever you go, get that education and learn to respect your elders. Learn to respect whatever you see in life that you can help somebody. Don't look down unless you're going to pick somebody up. Do that for them. Our senior citizens, off the backs of blacks, is what brought us where we are today. Education, knowing Jesus Christ, keep God in your life. I don't care where you go, how high you fly, you can never outdo God. Do you hear what I say?
Miss Shirley, you are beautiful.
And respect your parents, respect yourself. And if you can help somebody do that,
I will make sure this information gets out to future generations.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make sure
your
voice is heard and everything you've told me gets out there. You're a beautiful person. Thank you so much, Ms. Shirley.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like us to air your story, send it to bj@ancestorsbackthen.com. That's bj@ancestorsbackthen.com. We'll see you next time.
Don't forget to like us and subscribe.